You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Look at this panel today. Jun Lee, Harry Lyles Jr., Emily Catlin, and how do you do, fellow kids?
Woody Page.
Yes.
Monday Night Massacre. How much of it was the Rams? How much of it was the Cardinals? Russell Westbrook's detonation. How does he not hurt himself? And Timo. Timo with Mo. Let's go.
Did Woody get that reference?
That hockey.
The Los Angeles Rams have an old video that came out same era as the Super Bowl Shuffle. Anyone know Ram It? Has anybody ever seen it? Go to YouTube, look at Ram. Last night, there was a whole lot of ramming it from this Rams team. Matthew Stafford waited his whole career for a playoff win. He rammed it. Aaron Donald, Von Miller, they rammed it. Beckham doing some ramming. McVay rammed Kingsbury into the ground. This game was over seconds in. Kyler Murray looked like he hadn't played quarterback all year. Arizona looked like they never played football before. Harry Lyles Jr., around the horn to you. How did the Rams do this?
Tony, to steal a quote from the late, great Dennis Green, they did it by being who we thought they were. Okay. At the beginning of the season, okay, we saw that they were one of the better teams in the NFL. They played like it. They had a bit of a lull in the middle of the year. They picked up Von Miller. They picked up Odell Beckham. And they really looked like the NFL version of a super team, at least on paper. And they finally put it together. They had a balanced offensive attack. They didn't have to just rely on Cooper Kupp. Odell Beckham was not only involved in receptions, but he had a nice pass as well for 30 yards. And defensively, they just ate up Kyler Murray. They made him have one of the worst games of his life last night. It was a complete package, and when they play like this, they're one of the best teams in the league.
And this is enough to convince you they are who you thought they were and the team that they could be. Woody Page, did they finally put it all together?
Yes, Harry talked about the defensive side. Let me go over to the offensive side. I thought they kept Matthew Stafford under control. What I mean by that is he had 8 interceptions in the last 4 games. So they said, here's what we're going to do instead. We're going to run the football because you got Akers back. Great recovery that he had from the injury. You got Sony Michel there, and the two of them combined for 110 yards. They carried them equally during the course of the game. And if I were in charge of the Rams, I would throw the ball to Cooper Kupp every play of the entire game because he just catches everything, okay, continues to set records. So I think offensively, they had a controlled passing and running game that just totally confused the Arizona Cardinals.
This game, Woody, they didn't go to Cooper Kupp every play like they had maybe for huge chunks of the season, and you saw the benefit it was for their offense. I'll bring in Emily Catlin here. How real was this from Los Angeles? Are they now finally peaking?
Yeah, I mean, look, they were missing 2 of their starting safeties. They signed a 37-year-old who was on his couch last week, and they still limited a team to 183 yards total. This was the defense we were promised. This is also the Matthew Stafford we were promised for so many years. Think of all the pressure on him, both literal and figurative. The literal pressure is blitzing, and they blitz on him more than 50% of his dropbacks, which is a season high. And guess what he was on those plays? 7 for 9, 148 yards, and a touchdown. And we know when they play the Bucks, they're 1 of 3 teams to beat the Bucks this year, that they're going to throw the kitchen sink at him and blitz him, and I just think that they're poised to take them on.
Jun Lee, bring you in here. What you saw from, I guess, the Rams, you could start with. I want to talk about the Cardinals for sure, but start with Los Angeles.
I mean, the Rams look like a team that's hitting their stride right now. They found a balance on the offensive side. 61.4% of their plays were designed run plays, and they were able to make sure that not too much of the burden on the offensive side of the football was on Matthew Stafford, which I think has been a problem over the course of the back half of the season. And I think when you have a guy like Odell Beckham who is hitting a stride right now, he's caught 6 touchdown passes in 9 games with the Rams after catching 0 with the Browns in his last 9 games in Cleveland. This is a team that looks like the team that we thought. I think Harry hit it nail on the head right there. This is a team that is looking like the team we expected them to be at the beginning of the season, and that's what you want when you're in the playoffs and you're hitting your stride.
All right, if Harry hit the nail on the head, I'll give Harry the points there, June. Come on, Woody Page, the 4 points. I see you're on your score. You know what you need to do. Pick up the pieces of your argument. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, what you need to do is check my point button there because I gave you some good information. I like the way that they are more involving Beckham. I want to go back to the offense again. I think him throwing a pass, what, catching a pass 30 yards or more, has that ever happened in the history of the NFL? I don't think so. But here's, I think his involvement is, you keep his interest high, that I think offensively they are being what they hope they'd be, Harry, all year long.
Okay, okay. Thank you, Woody. That has been established. And yes, first time in postseason history,
I twisted his quote.
A player has completed a 30-yard pass and caught a 30-yard pass. Other side of the field, let's go deeper on Arizona. Kyle Murray, a complete meltdown in the first half. Look at this. You can't throw that pick six. Oh, the knocks on Cliff Kingsbury. This whole season, his whole career has been about finishing seasons and finishing games. And once again, this was just a train wreck of a performance. Emily, how much can the Cardinals and Murray and Kingsbury build on what this season was, but how much needs to be rethought and reworked after the way it ended?
I think the only thing that needs to be rethought is the coach. You alluded to it. This is a guy that was fired from the college level for whimpering down the stretch. He somehow fails up, and in his first 3 years in Arizona, he is 6-18 down the stretch, and he just doesn't have this team prepared. They were the third team in the last 30 years not to have a third down conversion. They were 0-9. Oof. That's just not acceptable. And then if you think about it, I mean, this is a team that is without DeAndre Hopkins, and a lot of people are going to use that as an excuse, but good coaches find a way to compensate. It's not like the quarterback they're missing. It's a wideout. A.J. Green, how does he only have 3 targets, 0 catches? Zach Ertz, you go get him in midseason. How is he not an impact player? So to me, this is a coaching issue.
Harry, do you see it as a Kingsbury problem, or do you see it as a Kyler Murray problem with some of his decision-making last night?
I don't necessarily think it's a Kyler Murray problem. I think one of the reasons that the Cardinals are in the position that they are in right now is because they have half of the battle that you need in order to have a successful NFL team, which is a franchise quarterback. I do think that Cliff Kingsbury should take a lot of the blame, but let's also look at the rest of the organization here. Steve Keim has put this team together. And Emily, as you said, like DeAndre Hopkins, that's a big loss. J.J. Watt, big loss. But those should not make your team substantially worse in a way that the Cardinals are able to fall in a way that they have this year. So I think that there's plenty of blame to go around, but there's definitely things to build on here with the Arizona Cardinals.
7-0 and then 10-2 and then the season getting away like it did. Woody Page, what is the major malfunction with Arizona?
I think it's franchisational, if I can say that. Organizational is the right word, but I think you have to start at the top and go to the bottom. This is not a winning franchise. They haven't learned how to have the confidence to win. And Emily was right and looked over my shoulder at my notes. I had to multiply it 3 different times to come up with 6-18, that you win 1/3 of your games down the stretch into 3 years you're coaching. That makes no sense whatsoever. But Kyler Murray, and watching him last night, he is not the same quarterback as he was before he went through the injury problems. That hit them, and I think that basically created a lot of issues for them, and he hasn't really come back from that. In watching him last night, he didn't look like a Pro Bowl quarterback. He looked like a guy who was afraid to run, that he wasn't pinpointing his passes. I think it's throughout the organization. It's not just the coach. It's the general manager. It's the ownership, and it's a lack of depth. They don't have any depth there. When Watt went out, they had nobody to replace him.
And Jrue Lee.
Well, Woody, I think the part of this is that Cliff Kingsbury didn't prepare Kyler Murray to be confident in those moments. And this is a team under his watch that has gone 9-19 after the first 7 games of the season throughout the course of his tenure throughout the last 3 years. This is a coach that throughout his time at Texas Tech and in Arizona has routinely had teams fall apart in the second half of the season. And I think that is a culture issue that stems from Cliff Kingsbury. This is a team that did not look prepared last night. The fact that they went to a trick play so early in the game, I thought showed a level of desperation that the Cardinals had, even when the game hadn't gone out of hand yet from an offensive perspective. There is a aspect of this where Kyler Murray has to get better, and this is his first playoff game, but that is the foundation of the Cardinals moving forward. He needs better coaching to be
so you're
able
putting this on Kingsbury.
To be the best
so
quarterback possible.
I'm hearing that, but
absolutely.
If Josh Allen has the game that Kyler Murray has last night, Josh Allen's getting killed today. Lamar Jackson has had struggles in the postseason before, and he's been, I thought, unfairly criticized, but he's been criticized. That play with Kyler Murray, Harry Lyles, where he's in the end zone and he's taking 4, 5, 6, 7 seconds before nearly getting safetied and throwing a pick six, that can't happen.
No, it can. That one absolutely cannot go on Cliff Kingsbury. There's a lot of those plays that honestly can't go on him. However, I do think that if we're going to talk about replacing him, you have to have somebody at least as good as him or better in mind. And I think that's a little bit more difficult than a lot of people make it out to be.
One more conversation we need to have today after the weekend we had. There were two lead changes in wild card weekend. All right. One was the first couple possessions, at least very early on for Vegas and Cincinnati. And the other was Pittsburgh up 7-0 after a turnover. And we know what Kansas City did after that. So a whole lot of blowouts, Woody Page, after the expansion of the playoffs a few years ago. And now, well, we got a couple close plays at the end of two games, and that's about it. Does that have you thinking a certain way about this season or about the way the playoffs are constructed by the NFL?
Yes, it did. The big announcement last night during the game was none of the field goal kickers had missed during the playoffs. And I went, oh, wow, that's exciting news. They called it Super Wild Card Weekend. It was Sucky Wild Card Weekend. And I do have a solution, Tony. You know I'm a solutions-oriented guy. I think they have wild card teams play each other. That's why there's a difference. When you're playing division winners, you're not in the same class as they are. So I think that first weekend should be wild card weekend. So if that means adding more wild card teams, I'm all for it. We like games. We like NFL games.
Okay, so you would expand the expansion now. That's what this is. Emily Catlin, how about you?
All right, what is the identity of the NFL? Do they want to have the best playoffs and most competitive playoffs in sports? No, that's my lane in hockey. Do they want to be the biggest, baddest, most visible, most lucrative league in sports? Yes, they do. So this works for them. And also, I know there were duds, but tell me you weren't excited for Bills and Patriots, and tell me you weren't excited for last night's game. It ended up being duds, but they were supposed to be good.
June Lee?
Yeah, I'm right there with Emily. I think that there was a lot of games that kind of fell short. The Bills-Patriots one game was one. The game last night was another. There was a lot of potential this weekend to have a lot of good games, and they just didn't materialize. And that happens in a lot of NFL playoffs. That's happened in years past before the playoffs as well.
Harry Lyles, Jr., last word.
Selling the format, the 17.2 points per game average margin of victory is the fourth highest since they've implemented the wild card, but I'm also buying that I'm still going to watch the football, baby.
Well, maybe with Woody's plan to expand the expansion, you would watch an expanded view of it. Who knows? Buy or sell on the other side.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, coming to you from the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17.
Lakers 101, Jazz 95 last night. This Westbrook dunk. We just had the conversation with Morant, most explosive small guard ever. That's because his balance makes him explosion. With Westbrook, it's his ferocity that makes the explosion. How does he not hurt himself, honestly? Emily, when you dunk, I mean, there's a lot of torque. There's a lot of pain in the wrist when you hit the rim like that. Oof. The Athletic, this piece, Bill Oram and Sam Amick, that Frank Vogel is coaching for his job on a game-to-game basis. Buy or sell that, man.
First, I just want to talk about my dunking because you asked me about it, but I am going to buy that because I think the two issues with this team right now are roster construction and effort. Roster construction, you can't fix midseason. All these guys are 3-5 years past their prime. You saw a good Russ highlight, but he hasn't been good. No one wants to take him on. Effort, though, you can change that. That's coaching, and it's easy to do midseason, so I think that's what they'll do.
Buy or sell coaching for his job right now, Woody Page.
I'm selling it. There's no reason that he should be the brunt, get the brunt of the attention about what they're doing. Anthony Davis is out. That's, first of all, important. Westbrook has been playing awful all year long. That's not a fit in that system. They have no depth on the team, as Emily was talking about. They play no perimeter defense. It's not his fault.
Barry Lyles?
I'm selling that he should be, but I'm buying that this is the pressure that comes with this particular job. We know in sports, everybody expects the most out of the Los Angeles Lakers. If there's anybody that we kind of need to be looking towards right now, it's probably Rob Pelinka because of the roster construction, not just because of age, but because of fit. And I do think that there is something to this team needing more energy. We saw it out of Stanley Johnson last night. He's on his third 10-day contract, and he's really given that team a spark that they've needed for a while now.
Wasn't it Vogel getting it from him, though? Jun Lee, let's bring you in here. He was nearly coach of the year last year through the first half of the season. Now he's in trouble. Do you believe that?
I mean, also just 14 months ago, the Lakers won the championship. A coach that helped that team win a championship not that long ago, especially the one in the bubble, shouldn't be on the hot seat when the roster is this fundamentally flawed. They had an opportunity to get Buddy Hield this offseason. Instead, they went out and got Russell Westbrook. They traded away a lot of their depth. Like Woody said, this is a team that is fundamentally not built to win this year. This is the first time since LeBron's rookie season that at the halfway point, the team is under 500. This is not a Frank Vogel problem. It is a Los Angeles Lakers roster problem.
Though I think at the exact halfway point, they were 21 and 20. They weren't under 500. They were open. We'll move on. Cavs 114, Nets 107. Cleveland now 27 and 18. Top half of the playoff bracket. Their season over under was 26 and a half. So they've already passed that in January. Where were you guys on that one? Give us that before the season, please. We all could have profited from that. Brooklyn, first game since the Durant MCL. It was a road game, so Kyrie Irving played. But it was a road loss. Woody Page, what position are the Nets in right now without Durant?
They're in really bad shape, Tony, and I'm not telling you anything that no one else knows, but this is the big three in the NBA, and guess what? They're 1.5 right now. You got one guy that's out for weeks, and you got the other guy that are going to only play half the games. Really, they've got to pull this all together for the playoffs, but I wonder about Kyrie being able to not play in half the games in the playoffs. I think you're in trouble.
Harry Lyles?
I'm buying that this is actually kind of good timing because Woody does mention Kyrie only being able to play the away games does matter a lot more now. However, 11 of their next 14 games are on the road, so they're going to have Kyrie for most of those games. And you're going to be able to take time to let Kevin Durant heal from this injury. They think it's going to be 4 to 6 weeks. This is fine timing for them. They'll be okay.
Okay, so you're all right with the timing here. Jun Lee?
I'm really concerned with the fact that this big three hasn't played a lot together. There's been 116 games since the Nets trade for James Harden. The big three has only played 16 games together. They don't have the chemistry on top of all of that. Kyrie Irving is only going to play half the games in the postseason. So I'm really concerned about how this team is going to function when it's crunch time and who's going to shoot the ball at the end of the game. How are they going to play together? James Harden hasn't looked the same since he came to camp out of shape with the Houston Rockets a couple years ago. I'm very concerned about the chemistry of this team as they move forward.
Kaplan.
I'm sorry, like, you guys are alluding to it, but we just need to say it. Where are the Nets right now? They're in the exact same position they were last year. We don't know what they are. They're inconsistent. We can't see them all together. And then when they make it to the finals against a team like the Bucks, they're really going to hope that they had that chemistry through the season, but the truth is they can't.
You know where they are? At 27 wins, the exact same position the Cleveland Cavaliers are in. Why aren't you guys talking up the Cavaliers? Buy or sell three, betting favorite for the Las Vegas Raiders job right now. Reportedly, it's Jim Harbaugh. It's a coach and GM opening. After the team fired Mike Mayock yesterday, buy or sell Harbaugh to the Raiders, Harry?
Selling this, Tony. He's got momentum at Michigan, which is what he's been looking for. He finally beat Ohio State, and yesterday they hired Mike Elston, defensive line coach from Notre Dame. Great hire. He's going to be sticking around.
Okay, so you're reading into that most recent move that means he's staying in Michigan. Drew, how about you?
I also sell it, but for a slightly different reason. I think that Jim Harbaugh is in a position where he can pick and choose his next opportunity if he wants to go to the NFL. He should be in a position where he's potentially the GM of a team, choosing player personnel. And he's at his place at Michigan, like Harry said, where he's won a lot of games. He has the momentum on his side. This is what he came to Michigan to do. And so he's in a position where he's at his alma mater. He doesn't need to leave for any other NFL job right now.
Emily Kaplan?
I'm buying that it will happen, selling that it should. Bisaccia, this interim coach who has galvanized this group through unthinkable adversity. He wrote handwritten notes to all of the players afterwards the loss, thanking them for their effort. If you don't give him a shot, what type of message does that send the team? I think that's wrong.
Woody Page.
Yes, you sell this. The players love the coach. Carr believes in him. And why in the world wouldn't you go out and get a general manager that can take everything off of Mark Davis's plate and put it on his own?
Whew. Kaplan 25, Page 23. That's enough to advance. Harry Lyles, Drew Lee, front row seats for a showdown between Emily and Woody. Next.
Two veterans.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Steven Adams fight removal service, all right? Just picked up Tony Bradley last night, carried him away. That was amazing. And so was this. Cameras catching Ja Morant on the bench saying, I could fight. I could fight. Who made the bigger statement, Emily Kaplan, Adams or Morant?
Adams, because he's a total hockey guy. This is a hockey move. You don't want your young, fragile playmakers getting into those type of scraps. Sorry. He's a total enforcer. I loved it.
Mm-hmm. Woody Page?
Emily, no, it was Morant. We don't want him to be a fighter. We want him to be a lover. We want him on the court doing what he does best. He's one of the greatest players in the NBA at a young age. Uh-huh. Don't fight.
I'm with the Steven Adams, but what you just did, Emily, is you invoked a hockey reference in a basketball story, which allows Woody to go basketball and hockey. You see what it is? Timo Meier last night. 5 goals for the Sharks in the win over the Kings. Woody, how big is a fiver?
Well, especially for him. He's the first player from Switzerland to have 5 goals in an NHL game. He had a chance to get a 6th, which I really would have loved because I want to see people throw their other caps on the ice.
Double hat trick, yeah. Uh-huh. And Emily?
This is a very big deal because he had these 5 goals in just over 11 minutes of ice time. That is absurd. And Bob Buchner has done a great job coaching the Sharks right now, but it is malpractice that he wasn't double shifting him so he can get that 6 and 7.
Is that 5 goals in 11 minutes of ice time? We should look. Is that the most productive game anyone's had in NHL history? That's incredible. Be productive in FaceTime, Emily Kaplan.
Nathan MacKinnon says he doesn't believe that a player from every team should make it to NHL All-Star because it's not a participation event, and I could not agree more. It's a grow the game event. If the NHL wants to grow, don't market its markets, market its stars. Give us Brad Marchand and Nazem Kadri, two complicated heroes. Give us Trevor Zegras, who gave us the most viral highlight we've seen this year. All I'm asking for is not a lot, just a little bit more fun from hockey.
Emily Kaplan, today's
Tony,
champion.
How could I get beat 9-2 in the last two showdowns?
Emily's beating you 9-2 in the last two showdowns. Well, you got to go back and do the work in the gym. We'll see you tomorrow.